Welcome to Design vs. Dev, a podcast about web development from the different perspectives of designers and developers. We help developers be better at design and designers be better at development. I'm your developer host, Micah.
And I'm your guest host, Maria.
Design vs. Dev is brought to you by the Agile League, a web development agency based in Atlanta, Georgia, specializing in Ruby on Rails and Ember.js and web design. You can find us on the web at agileleague.com. Okay, so we have a guest host today, Maria Dixon, a designer that I met in Savannah at the Geekend conference. And so tell us a little bit about yourself, who, what, where, why.
I'm a graphic designer, front-end web developer in Savannah, Georgia. You can visit me online, mariadixon.com, or follow me on Twitter, at Maria J. Dixon.
And so you'd classify yourself mostly as a designer and illustrator along those lines?
Yes, definitely. I have a stronger background in graphic design. I recently got into web design, which I've always kind of dabbled in it, but now I'm taking more contracts and actually comfortable enough to say that I am a web designer. But my heart is with illustration, and the web is just this amazing place where you can do practically anything with your artwork.
Well, and today we are talking about SVGs, scalable vector graphics, so right in line with doing illustrations. So I thought we'll just jump right in. So SVGs, what are SVGs? Most people probably know, but we'll do a quick overview anyway. They are sort of a text representation of a drawing. So an SVG is a textual way of saying, like, this is how I want a certain thing drawn. And oftentimes it comes down to a series of directions to the computer, as if you're a computer controlling a pencil. So it'd be like, pick up pencil, move to XY coordinates, draw line to XYZ coordinate, pick up pencil, draw curve. You know, just these various, you know, descriptions of how a pencil is supposed to move. And by doing that, you can draw lines and curves and circles and paths and things. And in the end, you wind up with a drawing. So it's also the output of what you get from things like Adobe Illustrator, or if you don't have any money and you want to go the cheap route, you can get it Inkscape. Inkscape is a free open source version. So that's the quick recap of SVGs. How are they better? How are they any different from other sort of image formats, things like JPEGs and PNGs? Well, the big thing is lossless scaling. This is the whole scalable vector graphics issue. An SVG, if you draw a circle and you make it, you know, a radius of 10 pixels, and then you blow that up to a radius of 1,000 pixels, it's still going to look like a very clean circle. There's going to be no jaggies along the side. If you take a PNG that's a circle that's 10 pixels wide, and then you stretch that to be 1,000 pixels wide, it's going to look awful. It's going to look terrible. So that's the main benefit, I would say the main benefit that you get with PNGs, or I mean that you get with SVGs over other image formats. The other thing is that you can do transformations on them. You can scale and rotate them. You can make them grow. You can make them spin. You can actually skew them and sort of twist them and do various operations like that. A lot of the stuff you can do on other images through CSS, but it's just, I don't know, the SVG stuff supports it natively in a way that the other formats don't. It's a text format, meaning that it's a smaller data size in general. A SVG description of a circle is going to be like two lines of text, whereas a PNG or a JPEG of that same circle could be like a 10 kilobyte image. So that's nice too. It's a very small data size. And this is a big one for me that I really love on the web. You can actually style them with CSS. So you can change the colors and the sizing, the width of the lines, and also like the background color and all these sorts of things with CSS. So I'll ask you, Maria, have you ever done that? Have you ever messed with the CSS styling of SVGs?
Yeah, I've definitely gotten to play with it. That's one of the cool parts about it, is that for a designer, or someone who's very visually oriented, say, for example, I make something that is a circle, and then there's a circle within that circle. When I save it out as an SVG, if you open that in like a text editor, you'll see circle, and then you'll see the components for that circle. And then you would see if there's another path inside, they would be broken up separately. So then you're able to separately transform and modify each component and each layer within your SVG without having to go through the complexity of thinking about things in linear, I mean, not linear format, but how would you say?
Like, you can think of them individually is what you're saying? Like you can think of the individual,
yeah,
like this
well, you can think of them visually too. Like it's broken down instead of like when you're trying to think about things as shapes, it does that for you.
Right. Which I mean, for me as a computer programmer, that's sort of a nice thing. I can think of a circle as a set of attributes. You know, here's its center point. Here's the center point of the circle, and then here's the radius of it. You know, and I can think of those things sort of programmatically, like a radius of 10. Whereas, so I can just describe that using an SVG. I can say, all right, circle, center point, radius of 10. Boom, I'm done. It draws the circle for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I were to try to do that, you know, drawing it myself or trying to describe like an image that does that, I wouldn't even know where to start. But have you, I mean, like, so what, one of the nice things about them with respect to the web is with modern browsers, you can actually embed an SVG directly into the HTML. So have you ever seen that?
Yes, but I usually don't do it that way just because it ends up giving you a whole lot of code.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
What I do is I just link to it and it's already doing that for me. It's already seeing it as code. Like you were speaking before, if I'm working with a ping or a JPEG or a GIF, the website is having to access a physical file. Whereas when it's accessing the SVG, it's really just accessing lines of code that I see as an image.
Right. And so when you say you link to it, do you put it in like an IMG tag and then, you know, IMG where like the SRC goes out to like a .svg?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, that's definitely one way to do it. The benefit of that, yeah, the benefit of that is that it doesn't dump everything directly into the HTML, into the DOM.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the browsers will handle pulling that stuff in. The downside, if I remember correctly, things are different on different browsers, but when you do it like that, you can't necessarily style the individual elements with CSS.
Oh, so, but you actually can. If
oh,
you open up, yeah, if you can actually go into your text editor and open up an SVG file, and from there you can actually style it within that file.
True. You can set it directly. That's a good point. You can actually set style and CSS elements directly on the SVG and set like stroke color and fill color and that stuff. Those are the attributes, right? Stroke color, fill color.
Yeah. And you can give it an ID that you can then reference through your other, say, your index file.
Really? You can put IDs on there, and then, because my understanding was that if it was referenced externally as a file through the IMG tag, that you couldn't actually style it with external CSS, that it would read whatever styling was in the file itself, but you couldn't style it with anything external. And you're telling me that that actually does work.
I think so. I mean, I could be wrong. I need to go back and check my stuff.
I don't know. We're both on thin ice here. We're like, I think I read
I
so.
Think I so. Because, so. I mean, to be honest with you, this is something that is very new to me.
Right.
I work with vector graphics on a regular basis. In fact, 90% of the things that I do are vector-based. So when I found out that it was something that I already knew about and could translate to the web, I was like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
So I've been learning a lot on my end, and I hope that I haven't misled anybody on that. But I think that it is, in fact, possible.
Well,
but I could be wrong.
There's definitely different ways to do it, and that is one of them, is to put put the reference to the SVG in an IMG tag. And so you reference it just like any other image. And it just different. And I know different browsers handle things differently. And I thought there were some that would not allow you to style that with CSS, except CSS that's embedded. It sort of treats it as like a closed package at that point. Like anything that's in that SVG file is respected, but it does not apply any outside CSS to that SVG from that file. That was my understanding. Again, I could be wrong. Things might have changed since I read about it. I guess if anybody's listening to this, like, please let us know and try it. You know, try it out and let us know. So, but I guess what I'm talking about is, I know if you embed it directly, like if you take the actual, because like you're saying, it's just a text file. Like you can open it up and read it as a text file. If you take that text and put it into your HTML directly, then you can do a lot of funky stuff with it that you can treat it pretty much like any other HTML element. And specifically, you can style the color, the width, all these sorts of things in CSS. And so you can say like, all right, I want the stroke width of this circle to be, 5 pixels or 10 pixels and suddenly you've got a big thick circle, or I'm going to make it 2 pixels and it's a very, you know, thin, you know, very thin, small, well, not small circle, because it can still have a different, you know, radius size. But it's just, it's really interesting. And I would say, look into this. And definitely, the trick is, it's not what you're used to with CSS. With CSS, you're used to, like, color and background color. But with SVGs, you got to think in their terms, which are stroke width, stroke color, and fill color. Okay, moving on. So you are an illustrator, so you work with this stuff a lot. Where do we use SVGs? Like, what is a good example of where I would want an SVG instead of, like, a JPEG or a PNG?
Well, really anywhere you can get away with it. I mean, they just don't cost a lot time-wise. Like, I think of time as a cost. And if you are able to, if you don't have to have an image.
My classic example that I can think of would be logos. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
So a company's logo, yeah, let's make that an SVG.
Or an icon, just a generic browser link icon.
Click here to download this file. You know, that would be an icon that we would use as an SVG, right?
Absolutely.
So we've got that. We've got icons. We've got logos. Now I'm trying to think, what would be another good place? Like, I was trying to look at some websites the other day and think to myself,
simple,
like,
animations. I think you can definitely get away with them in place of where a GIF would be.
Right.
They're also, yeah, I also saw an example of a map where whenever you moused over or put your pointer over a different state, it would highlight. And that was simple SVG. It wasn't demanding a lot from the browser.
That's a really good example. Maps are a good, like, an excellent example of applications for SVGs, because maps are just lines drawn on, you know, a piece of paper. So they're the perfect example of an SVG. And, like, you can actually find open source free SVGs for maps. Like, if you want the 50 states of the United States, there's SVGs out there for that. If you want all counties of whatever state you live in, you can actually find those kind of things. So yeah, that's a really good example. One thing I mentioned was logos and companies distributing their logos. Some companies will have, like, a logos webpage where you're like, oh, I want to do a press story about, I think Airbnb has this, and so, you know, Kickstarter I know does. So you're like, I'm running a Kickstarter and I want to put the Kickstarter logo on my Facebook page to say, hey, come find me on Kickstarter. So you can go to, like, kickstarter.com/logos, and they have a bunch of different styles of logos and a bunch of different PNGs. My thought was they should actually be distributing these also as SVGs. Like, and that way someone could come and rescale it, rotate it, do whatever they want, change the different colors of it without, you know, because if I get a PNG, I get, like, a closed package that I can't do anything with. It either works with my particular case or it doesn't. Have you ever seen anyone actually distributing their logos as SVGs?
Definitely not enough. And I always wonder this, why that they wouldn't do that. I don't know if it's, like, a fear of someone taking their logo, but I think that that's kind of a little unwarranted. Personally, I get a lot of instances where a lot of people, and this is maybe selfish of me to want them to be SVG online, where they don't know what they have when a graphic designer sends them their logo in vector format. So a lot of times we'll get something like a scan from a letterhead or what have you, just because people will give you whatever easiest for them to grab. And it's just another, if they had their logo on their website as an SVG, it would be easier for them to just outsource that to any other form in the design process. Say that they wanted to get business cards made, they already have their logo easy accessible for someone to do that.
That's a really,
in high quality.
That's a really good point. And I guess that just comes back to, you know, I need a better word for this, like, general ignorance on the part of sort of the end user. It's not, I mean, they're ignorant of this in the way that I'm ignorant of how my car works. Like, I can drive it without knowing it works. These guys can use their websites without knowing what SVGs are. So I don't use ignorance in a bad way. I use it in sort of a technical sense. They are technically ignorant of this stuff. So I guess in some sense, it's up to us then, when we hand off an SVG, like, of someone's logo to them, we say to them, like, listen, this is very important. Like, hold on to this. You don't need to know what it does. And when you work with someone else, another designer, this is what they want from you. Like, they want this and, like, a list of the colors that go with it. So here's a list of, or I mean, heck, it's an SVG. You embed the colors inside it. You know, this is your particular color branding package, and this is your SVG describing your logo. Do not lose this file. This is what they want. They don't want a scan from your, you know, desk-sized printer scanner all-in-one device. Is that about right?
I agree with you. In fact, I wanted to ask you this because I was just thinking when you brought it up. Can you think of an instance where it is more beneficial to use, for example, a PNG or a JPEG for a logo on a website as opposed to SVG?
I guess certain instances would be if you want it to display on every possible browser ever. Because we'll get to browser support here in a second, but it's not perfect yet. Browser support is not perfect across the board. Specifically, IE8 and below don't render them at all, I think. And there may be some issues in, like, IE9 not rendering things correctly. You know, other than that, I really can't think of a case where you would want... Or if your logo... It could be that your logo is incredibly complex and that the actual SVG file is somehow bigger than a corresponding PNG would be, but unless your logo has, you know, unless you're trying to convert an actual photograph into an SVG, which is usually kind of a disaster, at least in my experience, you do this more than I do, so you might have better ideas, but that's usually not such a great, you know, that doesn't work out too well. But honestly, I can't think off the top of my head of a case where a logo is better distributed as a PNG, except, I guess, well, yeah, and this goes back to what you were saying earlier. For better or worse, when someone gives you a PNG, it is a closed package that you can't do much with. And so if you're working with a client or somebody that's really paranoid and is like, I don't want anyone getting a hold of my logo and messing with it and making me look bad on the internet. But I don't know what to tell those people anyway, because it's like, all I got to do is load this PNG up in Photoshop and then put sucks over it, and boom, we're done. Like, it's a little bit easier with an SVG, but it's not that much harder for me to make you look stupid if I've got, you know, access to Photoshop.
Yeah, you can get sucks in Retina display version if you needed it.
That's true. They could scale it up and make it so that the sucks looks good if they've got the SVG, and if they've got the PNG, it's not going to work out as well. So, I guess that would be my play on that one. Is if you're going to look dumb on the internet, you may as well look good doing it. So give them the SVG so that they can make things look right.
Exactly.
I guess it would probably be sort of like an education issue. Is people would look. If they didn't fully understand what we're talking about, they'd say like, oh, wait, SVGs are just text and someone can take and change my logo. I don't want that. I want control over my logo. And at that point, you have to somehow explain, you have no control, period. Like, once this is on the web, you have completely lost control. Like, it's done. It's like, you know, it's like having an unflattering picture of yourself up on the web. You can't control that. That's... Once it's up there, you've lost control.
No turning back.
That's right. So, all right, we'll move on real quick. So, browser support. As I mentioned earlier, the referencing it as like in the IMG tag, that actually works in more places than inserting it directly into the HTML. I think that might actually work in IE8. Maybe it's IE9. One of the older IE versions supports that, but does not support embedding it directly in the HTML. But as long as you're living in the world of IE9 and up and Chrome, Firefox, Mobile Safari, all those different places, you can actually embed it directly. You can reference it in the IMG tag and things just work. And so in those kind of cases, SVGs are great. Just go ahead and embed it. You're good to go. So, all right. So this is a question. This is a good question for you, Maria. How do I go about getting SVGs? Because I, as a developer, if I open up Illustrator, I open up Inkscape, and I'm like, I'm gonna draw an icon. Or some icons for my website. I'm gonna draw some smiley faces. I'm gonna draw a logo. Like, forget about it. It's not gonna happen. Like, I will just sit there staring at the screen and then turn it off and go play Xbox. So, how do I go about getting, you know, these SVG assets?
You mean like a free library?
You tell me. Do I get a free library? Do I hire you? What's the best way?
Oh, like, well, you definitely hire me. But then, okay. Yeah, anything outside of that. There are I believe that there are libraries online. I've never really been in that boat to have to do it. If there is something that someone already wants that's on a clip art site and it's in vector format, it's easy to just open that, download it and then open that up and save it as an SVG because it's already in vector format. So basically if you have like a stock subscription and they have a vector that your client wants or you want, as long as it's already in vector format, you can easily save it as an SVG. The only thing, you get this probably a lot too, is there'll be an SVG mask, like a JPEG masquerading as an SVG, where like someone takes a photo and then puts it into Illustrator, saves it as SVG, and thinks it's then an SVG, but there's no paths or information. It's still a JPEG, still has the weight of a JPEG, but just saved as dot SVG.
And that's a good point, is you actually can, in some of these cases, embed, like SVG supports embedding of images in it, but yeah, that's not an SVG really. I mean, technically it is, but it's just an SVG with a JPEG embedded in it. So, you've wrapped a wolf in sheep's clothing, and it's not really going to help you at all. So, but yeah, I mean, so I have found some vector art libraries, some free, some paid. There's one that I really like called Pictonic that's got just a ton of little icons and, click here to download this file, RSS icon kind of stuff. But I guess if I were, imagining the perfect vector image for, for my website, I would reach out to somebody like you. And is that like, 'cause that sometimes I do have it in my head, like, oh, I'd love, I don't know, like a road sign, like, the sort of standard yield sign road sign, but instead of having a, crosswalk guy, it's got a guy, dancing or something like that. And when I go and I look for that online, like yield sign with guy dancing on it. Yeah. Good luck finding, free clip art for exactly that kind of thing. So how would I approach someone like you to, I'm sure that's not worth your time for me to just reach out and be like, I need this one icon. So what's the best way to interact with a designer, like an illustrator from that standpoint? Is it like, do we reach out and say, I need a whole package of icons for my site? Or you tell me, what's the best way to do it?
I think the latter that you just mentioned would probably be best. I mean, usually it's a scenario where the initial hour is a higher rate than the subsequent hours afterwards. So, because you're initially paying just to speak to someone, and then from there you want to get more than maybe just one icon, I would say at that point, to give them your brand identity, basically say, this is the website that I'm working with. This is the flavor of the design that's already existing. I would like an icon pack that represented ABC or whatever the item may be. It may not be an icon pack, it may be an illustration. But it's usually a scenario where I like for it to be a little bit more open, like for someone to say, take a look at my website. What do you think would go with the theme? Because sometimes when you are in that scenario, someone will ask for something and you give them exactly what they asked, but you also didn't communicate to them that maybe this wasn't the best idea for this particular website.
So you're saying, that's a case of, they think they know what they want, but they really don't. And so as a, as a designer, you're like, actually, I'm good at this. Let me use my expertise here.
Yeah, I think that that's best for both sides,
Yeah, no, I agree.
because we can learn a lot from each other and see what's gonna sometimes what from a designer, the way that things are wired in my mind, the way I see things, isn't necessarily the best or the path of least resistance, development-wise.
Well, and I'll tell you, as a developer, if I have a designer come to me and say, like, you know what, you have some interesting ideas here, but let me go ahead and take over the design. I done. It's done. It's yours. Like, please take that off my hands. I feel so much better now. So,
Mm-hmm.
How much? I mean, how much would that cost? Like, how much would it cost, like, to an end user, like someone who wants a website, you know, for you to sort of take over that brand identity and be like, I'll handle, you know, all sorts of different, you know, icons and logos and all sorts of stuff. Like, what cost range are we talking here?
Well, I would say it would definitely start at $75. That's okay. Kind of what I've seen so far, and the number makes a lot of sense to me. To start with that figure, because you're paying for the Adobe license, and then after that you're mm-hmm. paying for design concept and reviewing it, and then from there it's really dependent on the scale of the project.
Okay, so 75 and up.
I would say yes.
Okay, that's in line. That's we charge quite a bit of money for most of the services that we provide. So, mm-hmm. So I would say 75 is a bargain. 75 is a steal.
That's definitely a starting point. Like, I would say the minimum, really, like of anything.
Right.
Because again, you know, your time is very valuable. So, right. Just the initial beginnings of a project, I think anything under 75, and I know a lot of starting designers are so eager to get those jobs, and that they'll go actually lower than that, just to pitch themselves.
Right, and this seems like a case, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. Is it seems like a case where, you know, if somebody comes to you wanting five icons,
mm-hmm.
it just seems like there's this point where you're like, this is not worth my time. Like,
yeah.
I'm not just an icon factory. So, you know, that it's so, and that's what I'm trying to figure out for myself is, like, I often think to myself, like, oh, I need this particular icon. And Drew, our regular host, he can tell you, I always come to him and say, hey, can I get this icon? And from his perspective, he's like, I'm busy, man. Leave me alone. Like, make your own stupid icon. So,
well, I think it really depends on if there is something so niche that you want. If it's something mm-hmm. like you were mentioning the road sign, but you want the guy dancing, what you could probably do is go to a clip art site that has vector format. You could find a vector road sign, and they could probably, I mean, because whenever you search on these things, there's a million stick people doing fill in the blank. You know, basically yeah. any action you can think of, a stick figure is doing that on a stock clip art site. So you could probably juxtapose the two. I mean, I know you were saying that Illustrator can be a little bit daunting.
I'm telling you, for me to actually do what you're saying, I could probably do it, but it would be like a whole day spent like, trying to get the files. I shouldn't admit to being that computer illiterate, but I really am. It's very frustrating for me to use a lot of these tools. So it's just. You know, that's me. People are like, wow, you're a wizard with computers. I'm like, I'm a wizard with programming computers. Actually using them, I can't do that. All right, well, we're running long on time here, so we'll move on a little bit. So what are some things that that SVGs are not good for? So we've talked about logos and icons, these sort of things. What are they not good for? And these are some questions. I've talked about SVGs in the past since people hit me with questions. And one of the things that people ask a lot about is like 3D stuff, cubes and spheres. And 3D rotations and, you know, basically making games. SVGs are not really good for that, at least as far as I've seen. They're best for describing two-dimensional things, like circles and rectangles and triangles, not spheres and cubes and pyramids that are rotating and twisting and, you know, bouncing balls back and forth. If you're going to do that and you're going to do that on the web, I would look at things like WebGL, which are hardware-accelerated 3D libraries. So, yeah, and then another thing that we've talked about was the sort of, like, photo to SVG. You may think to yourself, like, hey, I've got this photo, and I want it to scale. SVGs scale perfectly, so let me convert this photo to an SVG, and then it'll scale perfectly. That, it's a wonderful theory. If only it worked, it does not work. So if you take a photo, if you take a JPEG, you know, quote-unquote, convert it to SVG, basically what you've got is an SVG wrapped around a JPEG, and then when you scale that SVG, it'll just look awful like normal. So it's just, you need things that are born as vectors in order to have the benefits of the scalability and everything that vectors give you. So Yeah, I've tried that in the past. I thought, oh, I'd love to have this thing scale, but it just doesn't work. And I wanted to leave with a few ideas for some advanced stuff that I've done, some advanced usages of SVGs, beyond just, you know, hey, I want a logo here, I want an icon here, something like that. And I'd love to hear other people's ideas, because these are some things that I sort of stumbled upon. And one of them, so one that I'm working with right now is a scalable responsive image map. So we've had the image map ability in HTML for several years now. It's very popular, like late 90s. You know, click somewhere on this image and it'll take you to one place, click somewhere else on the image and it'll take you somewhere else. So this, we've been doing this for, you know, 15, 20 years now. But it's always been kind of junky in that you have to define shapes in the image, and there's sort of like an assumption that the image is of a certain size. If you're trying to make a responsive layout where that image grows and shrinks, your image map is much more difficult to do. And so what I have found is a way to use SVGs to actually sort of overlay the image with the drawn SVG circles and squares and paths. Like, a perfect example would be an image map, or like an image map of an actual map. Like I said, like the 50 states. You could make it so that each of the 50 states, so that you overlay a map of the United States with an SVG drawing of those 50 states, and each one of those drawing SVG elements is clickable. So, and as your image scales up and down, the SVG itself, it's built into it. It's scalable vector graphic. It can also scale up and down so that those images, you know, those overlay of the state drawings scales at the same rate. So I have actually done this. There's some guides online. If you just look for like SVG image map, it works really well. Like, and I feel like I will never ever use like the standard HTML image map again, because it's just, it's kind of clunky and junky compared to what you can do with these SVGs. One other thing that I wanted to talk about, something else that I thought was really kind of cool, was since you can style with CSS, you can actually style the SVGs in a way that you can't with regular images. Think about like an icon set that you have and like a color scheme. Like, let's say that your website has a blue color scheme, and, you know, somebody wants to go in and change it to red. They want to, you know, or, you know, somebody has like user configurable. I get to choose the color scheme that I want. You know, maybe it's a blogging site where you have a bunch of different people all running their own blogs on it, and they can choose what color scheme they want. You can actually make this user configurable with SVGs and CSS in a way that you just can't do with other images. You know, like if you have PNGs for all your icons and you've got the red set, and then somebody's like, oh, I want a blue theme. Now you need a blue set of PNGs. You need to go through and take every one of those icons and export it as a blue version. With SVGs, that's just one change in CSS. So you can have like a different CSS file or different settings for the blue theme and the red theme, and you're using the exact same SVG files, and you're just styling them differently. So it's taking the concept of styling and theming and CSS that we've used for text and you know, positioning and that, and just extending it to, you know, these vector images. So I've done it. It works great. It is so much easier than messing around with like 50 different sets of PNGs, you know, and you're like, oh, now I need a slightly redder version. Let me go export 800 PNGs at a slightly redder color. So those were just two advanced cases that I've seen, you know, quote unquote advanced. They're not really that hard. So, and I'd love to hear other people's experiences that they've had with SVGs and the cool stuff that they've done with them. Do you have any other, you know, thoughts to go along with that, Maria?
I did want to ask you, when you were saying about the image map, do you mean that, for example, I could take a photograph, and I think you probably did explain this, but, and I can overlay an SVG and have the SVG have active hotspots?
Yes, that's pretty much exactly it. Is, you can think about it as, the way that I did it was, it's funny, I've been saying like, do not use SVGs to wrap images. That's actually what I did. I actually took an SVG, put an image inside it so that the SVG actually has, because the SVG specification allows you to link out to images. And so I actually have a link out to an image. So the browser pulls in the image, displays that, and then there are other SVG elements that it draws on top of that image. So that's essentially what I'm talking about, is it's like, imagine a JPEG with things drawn on top of it that are then interactive, and you can click on those and cause things to happen. Does that make sense?
Yes, actually.
So I'll try to do some links in the show notes explaining, because there's I followed along with somebody else's blog post explaining how to do it, and it was very, very handy, very clever. And again, it's just SVG, so you could actually have things animate if you wanted to have like an image with, you know, circles that like move around, and like, you know, maybe it's somebody's face and like the circle moves to their eyeball, then it moves to their mouth. You could have, you know, real nice smooth, you know, transition animation stuff like that. And the whole time, all those elements as they're moving are clickable and just like interactive as any other element would be. So real cool stuff, lots of fun. And all right, well, we will leave you with one main thought, and that is logos. Give them out as SVGs. That's one thing that you and I are both in agreement on here, Maria, is that like more logos should be available in SVG format, right?
That'd make my life easier for sure.
So if you are, you know, if you are doing a logos.html page and you're like, here's the black and white version of our logo, here's the color, you know, reverse version of our logo, please include the SVG version as well. That will make all the other designers' lives easier, and as long as the clients and people are okay, as long as we don't explain it to them, it's like, oh, now anyone can take it and modify your logo. As long as we make a better case for it than that, I think everybody's life will end up being easier. Okay, thanks everybody for listening, and thank you, Maria, for being our guest host today.
Well, thank you so much. I've had a great time. Thank you.
Okay, and stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks a lot.